Kof Tes Tishrei, Monday the 15th of October, Rabbi Avraham Rockmill, Migdal Bovel, and Sholem.
Thank the Gaboyim for having me here. As I want to say, I take full responsibility for clear weather. For the clear weather, Israel. Kodesh Baruch Hu bequeathed to the Goyim, and he separated them, and he made gvulas for the nations, the Mispar B'nei Israel, to the number of the Jewish people. Says Rashi, he spread them out. Behafrida bnei Adam kishehefitz dora flaga hayabiyado lavir min olam. Eveshter could have destroyed them. Velo asa kain eliyatsid gevulas amim kayamam velo abdam the mispa bnei Israel. Why did Eveshter keep the nations? Why do you establish them in 70 places? Bishvil mispa b'nei Yisrael, sha'asidin l'tzeis b'nei shem, that the number for the Jewish people that are going to come out of shame, or the mispa shivin nefesh b'nei Yisrael, excuse me, and the 70 nefesh of b'nei Yisrael, sh'yadul mitzrayim, heitziv gavulis amim shivin lashim. Rashi says a very fascinating thing, pshat in this pasuk, that the 70 amim correspond to the shivin nefesh that Klai Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim. And the Siftei Chamin says, ki'ilu, the Umas Olam lost their opportunity to be the vehicle for the completion, for the perfection of this world, and it was transferred from the shivin umos to the shivin nefesh. But we have two, I want to show you, there's a parallel here between the Shivim Amim and the Shivim Nefesh. The Shivim Amim we see in this week's Parsha, and then we're going to see a little bit about the Shivim Nefesh. Vayhi kol ha'aretz safa ar echas v'dvarim achadim. And they all spoke one language, and they had one purpose. Interesting. Chazal tells us an interesting thing here. Says Chazal saying Mishalmi Safa Echas Reb Eliezer Reb Yochanan Chada Mashayu Medarbi Meshivim Loshen VeChada Mashayu Medarbi Meloshen Yechidu Shalolam Meloshen Hakodesh. One man Yoma says that even before Migdal Bava they were speaking 70 Loshanas, and the other one says they were speaking Loshen Hakodesh. So Torah Tamima has it shver because it's mashma in the psukim before that they already were divided into nations and they already spoke languages. So it's difficult, he says, difficult to say that they didn't speak 70 languages already. But mitzayda how we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu was mevabal their lashonos. So he learns pshat along the following lines, that before Migdal Bavel, according to this man the Omer, they spoke Shivim Lashon, but they also spoke Lashon HaKodesh. They had 70 different languages for each nation, but they all understood Lashon HaKodesh. And understand that, it says in the Gemara Nedarim, that Lashon HaKodesh is Be'etzim, the Lashon that Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, and the Shivim Lashon are like, they are outgrowths from that. They spoke 70 languages, but they understood the relationship of their language to Lashon HaKodesh. When they built the Migdal Bavel, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu was Mevabel them, so then they lost the connection to Lashon HaKodesh. Then they spoke Shivim Lashon and they didn't understand one another. Why did they lose that connection? Well, they had one purpose. The Psukim don't say clearly what they did wrong. They came, they wanted to build a tower, Livnu Levenim, Nisri for the Sreifa, and they said, let's build a tower, Nishamayim, make a Lenasalanu shame. Their interest was to build, make themselves for a name that they shouldn't get spread out around the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw this and then said, Hem, Am Echad, Sva Echas, Lekulam. Now I'm not going to let them do it. And then he was mavabel their loshonos, and he spread them out. What was their sin? What was their avera? What did the Migdal Bavel, what did they do wrong? And the Mefarshim discusses, it's really mavorin, in the Gemara, nasalan Hashem, I want to make a name for themselves. The Ramban says, they were kotzib and atiyos. It was a form of avodah zarah, like it says, nasa ha'adam, just like Adam and Rishon, says in the pasuk over here. Ha'adam, just like Adam and Rishon sinned, he was kotzib and atiyos. So too, the Migdal Babel were kotzib and atiyos, which means they were breaking off the connection between this world and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It was a merida. Rahman Salam, it was a merida, rebellion against the Rabbana Shel Olam. There's a famous maisa with the Kaiser came to Yerushalayim, and Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld went out to greet him, and he showed him his psukim. He said, what did they do wrong? He was speaking to a Goyish king, and he said, what did they do wrong? It doesn't say in the psukim. It says, so he pointed to them, it says, V'yoma isha re'ehu havena libnan on levenim, let's make bricks, v'nisrefa l'srefa. They want to make their own bricks. Instead of hewing stones from a mountain, they made their own bricks. Says he, you saw that they didn't want to be, we're totally independent. We don't need the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The shorish, the root of Migdal Babel is this connection between this world and the Rabbanu Shel Olam. They wanted to make, it says in the Chazal, they wanted to make war, kabiyachal against the Hashem. Difficult to understand, but that's what it says. So what happened? Hashem confused their languages. They had a shalom, and it's Mavur and Rashi, the reason why later, it says, why is it by the Migdal, by the flood, they were destroyed, and these people survived? Because they had a certain shalom. They had a unity of purpose when they started. But as the Mefarshim point out, that unity of purpose was for rebellion against the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The Gemara says that the Knan made a tzivui to his children, love each other and love Gezel and love Zima. The purpose of that Achdus was self-interest. The purpose of the Achdus of the Migdal Babel was ultimately that they should be Balabatim, they should rule over the world. And they should rebel against Rabbanu Shel Olam. So Hashem said, such an Achdus, even though you're at peace with one another, I'm going to show you that Achdus leads to, I'm going to be made with you over the entire world. And I think the Pshat's as follows. To the extent that they wanted to rebel against Rabbanu Shel Olam, so what did Hashem say? Mida Kenegan Mida? I'm going to disconnect you from Lashon HaKodesh. HaKodesh Baruch Hu created the world with Lashon HaKodesh. Now you want to rebel? Okay. You don't have any relationship to Lashon HaKodesh. I'll give you a dugma. It says that by Yosef HaTzadik and Paro, a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that Yosef HaTzadik had a conversation with Paro. The Malach Gabriel taught Yosef Shivin Lashon. They had a conversation. They're having a du-siach. And then Yosef spoke Lashon HaKodesh. And Paro couldn't speak it. So Paro said, teach me. So what happened? He started teaching him. He couldn't learn it. He made him sure that he shouldn't tell anybody that he didn't know the language. So, you know, I asked rhetorically, you know, why everyone goes to Opan. You know, February, you know, I need to be free. Ma'abaya. To speak Lashon HaKodesh doesn't mean just to say the words. It means to understand the relationship of Lashon HaKodesh to the Achdus of the unity of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Lashon HaKodesh is Be'etzim. So the Paro, who represents Mi Hashem, Asher Hashmas L'Kol, who is a God that I'm going to listen to his voice, he didn't understand Lashon HaKodesh. The Umos, originally they saw how their language related to Lashon HaKodesh. That means, even though they were 70, they were sheathing, but they had a relationship to the unity of the world. When they decide to rebel, when they decide to build a Migdal, what happens? They cut themselves off from the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So Mida Kenegan Mida, Kodesh Baruch Hu cuts them off from Lashon HaKodesh. I'd like to understand here. They all explain here. You know, they had a unity. But that unity is really disunity because it was for self-interest. Without the Rabbanu Shel Olam, there is no real unity. Let's understand something. What's the Zeh U'mazeh? What is the corresponding thing here? It says, they Hashem made Shivin Lashon, and then corresponding, He made the Shivin Nefesh that went down to Mitzrayim. The purpose that the Eibishter didn't destroy, it's interesting, it says over here, the reason He didn't destroy them is because He wanted the Klal Yisrael to come out. And Rashi over here, Tzmashe, didn't destroy them because they had a unity. So you hear there's a little bit of a kasha here. On one place, the Chazal's mashma that the reason they weren't destroyed is because they were at peace with one another. But Rashi over here says the reason He didn't destroy them is because He wanted them to lead out to the Jewish people. So it could be like this. The pshat is, He couldn't let out to the Jewish people a different way. Just like the people of the flood were destroyed except for Noach. So these people could have been destroyed and some of them could have ultimately led on to shame. Be that as it may, there's 70 connected 70. I want you to hear a very interesting thing. It says, when Klai Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, they went down b'shivim nefesh. Shivim nefesh. It should say nefashos. Why is it shivim nefesh? Because they were united. That's what the Mefarshim say. They were united. The Maharal and others explain. Why were they united? Because they came down with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, remember, his image is Chokot Tachas Kisei HaKavod. His image is engraved underneath the Kisei HaKavod. Yaakov is the Bechira Avos. So in their relationship to Yaakov, they are unified. They are Shivim Nefesh. Likewise, says the Maharal. Remember, there's the 12 stones, the rocks that unified underneath Yaakov Avinu when he was having his dream. Right? Now, Mesillas Yesharim speaks about it. You know, rocks obviously cannot unify. But they did for the Tzaddik. Says the Maharal, why? Because for the Tzaddik, they rose up to the level. They went beyond themselves and they rose up to His level. They went to His level. They went beyond their limitations and they became one. There were 70 people coming down to Mitzrayim, the 70 Nefashos, but they were Shivim Nefesh because they were united, because Yaakov Avinu brought them up beyond who they were. Understand well, right? It says when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Barad on Mitzrayim, right? The Barad is made out of fire and water. Osei Shalom Bimrom Av, Hu Yaseh Shalom. Right? The Malach HaEsh, Gavriel, the Malach HaMayim, Michael made peace. Why? For the Rabbanu Shalom. Right? In our world, fire and water don't stim. Right? Water puts out fire. And it was fire together with water. So it's a nes. Fine, we accept nisim. But the Pshat, they made shalom. How did they make shalom? Because they had a relationship for the Rabbanu Shalom. They went beyond who they are. They went outside of their getter. They went above themselves. And then there's true shalom. Lo matza kodesh baruch hu, kli hamaksik bracha el shalom. A kodesh baruch hu could not find a kli, a vessel to hold bracha except for peace. Now the Nefesh HaChaim explains what does it mean bracha. Bracha is from Lashon brecha. Brecha means a flow, means a river, correct? Flowing. Means tosefet, says the Nefesh HaChaim. Tosefet means extra. Lo matza kodesh baruch hu kli. A vessel that can hold blessing except for shalom, because a kli, by definition, only can hold so much, right? 8 ounces. So how can it hold more? How can it have blessing, which means more? Lo matza kli amatzik bracha. He only found a kli that holds blessing, shalom. True shalom comes when this world can hold more than it can hold. How can the world hold more than it can hold? How can the world have more blessing? How can it have something extra beyond itself, go beyond its borders? When the world is a reflection of the divine. The ways of the Torah are ways of pleasantness and they are ways of peace. When the world reflects the divine, then there's room for true shalom. Without the divine, there's no true shalom. At Migdal Babel, they tried to make shalom. They had a shalom. But it's a shalom based on self-interest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you want to rebel against me? You want to take me out of the picture? You can't have true shalom. Ultimately, you're going to have divisiveness, and ultimately, it's going to fall apart. Parenthetically, for those of us who remember the war, Mifratz HaRishon, right against Iraq, at that time, George Bush the First made the entire world go against Saddam Hussein, and at that time, and I forget his name, Anthony, something the British Foreign Secretary said, we're going to build a new world order, brick by brick. That was his lashon. Brick by brick, it's like from the Pasuk. We'll make a new world order, everything will be peace. But what was it? George Bush had bribed everybody for their self-interest to gang up against Saddam Hussein, fine. So it lasted. 2 years later, Bush was out of office, and we know the world has not come to true peace. Because there cannot be true peace without the Rabbanu Shalom. And it's my rebbes have taught me that the Secretariat, which is that big building in New York, in the UN, is big. It's not by coincidence. They want to have peace. And it's a mitzvah. But on the Rabbanu Shalom, without the Rabbanu Shalom, you cannot have true peace. Because true peace only can come when people can go beyond themselves. According to what we're saying now, I understand Pshat and something. I never understood it properly, but now I understand it. It says like this. We say in davening every morning, it's a chazal. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam, shenema, kol banayach l'mudei Hashem, rab shalom banayach. Atzik banayach ela bonayach. Yeah, Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. The Rebbeinu Bachai brings this down in the context of Eila Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifnayim, Lifnayim Lo Lifnay Avodas Chachamim. You should bring your Mishpatim in front of a Beis Din, don't bring it in front of the Arkos, in front of non-Jewish court. And the halacha is, you don't bring it in front of a non-Jewish court, even if they have the same halacha. Yep. This is a kasha on the Shia, Chevron. This is a kasha on the Shia. Chevron, I'm guilty. Klatzach, I've made fun of people like me my whole life. It's this, been guilty. I plead guilty. Fifth, Chevron, you can check me afterwards. I fell in. I have a cell phone. Okay, please forgive me. Okay, anyone who wants to check me afterwards, but effigy you may. Okay, I got that on tape. I'm doing tshuva right now. I'm sorry. What can I do? See, you fall in. I fell in. Chevra, I used to make fun of these stupid things. I used to fail. Yeah, nachba. Ay. Chevra, I apologize. Listen. Pshat says, even if they had the same halacha. What's the pshat? Pshat's like this. It says, and it's also a strange chazal. It says, your children, your sons, are bonai, builders. Because they're builders, they're marbin shalom. How's that marbin shalom? What's the pshat? Their children or their builders? How's builders make marbe shalom? I understand like this. You're all familiar, Nevi'im Chaim explains that when a Jew, with our thoughts, our dibur, and our maisim, we're born with selam elokim in the image of God, says Nevi'im Chaim, what does it mean we're in the image of God? God doesn't have an image. So as we share something in common with the Rabbanu Shalom, what do we share? He's a builder, and we're a builder. He builds spiritual worlds, we build them. And Chas v'Shalom, when we do averas, we destroy, and he destroys. We can build worlds. Talmidei Chachamim, Marbim Shalom, because they're Bonayat, they build spiritual worlds with their Torah. They are building worlds and worlds, Olamas, of Ruchnius, with every word of Torah. So they're Marbim Shalom Olam, because they increase a Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence in this world, the more, like we said before, to the extent the world is a reflection of the divine, that's true shalom. Now I understand Pshat. Just like Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was Meshivi Nefesh. So when you go in front of Talmidei Chachamim and Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, the Pshat's like this. If you shteltzu, if you relate to the Talmud Chacham, he's supposed to be Hecher. A real Chacham is Hecher, he's higher. That's where you can have true shalom, because you go beyond your midos, you go beyond your own limitations. Do you hear what I'm saying? True shalom comes when we can go beyond ourselves. When we're just left if 70 people go 70 different directions. But Shivim Nefesh can unite with the Rabbanu Shalom. When the world is a reflection of the divine world, there's room for Shalom. And that's the pshat, by the way, I understand like this. It says by Pinchas ben Elazar Cohen, that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him Bris Shalom. And I've always, you know, it's very interesting. You know, we all know, it says, Havi Taminu Shalom, Aaron Cohen, Rodev Shalom, should run after peace, right? Aaron Cohen made peace between people. He went up to this one, he said he wants to make up with you. You know, he was Matthias people, etc., and he brought them to peace. Fine, I understand that. Pinchas, what did Pinchas do? What did Pinchas do? He gets Brisi Shalom? He is Mavira the Ra. He destroyed Ra. That's called Bris Shalom? Why is that called Bris Shalom? I can understand he's great over the Sham. He's doing Mishpat. Brisi Shalom? So one way of understanding it, he made Bris Shalom between Kodesh Baruch Hu and the world. But I think the way we're talking now, Brisi Shalom means, look at the Mephoshim, they came into Moshe Rabbeinu before this with this mice with Zimri. And he said, what's the halacha with this? Is it mutter asa? And if it's asa, what's with you and your wife? So nisama halacha, he forgot the halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the halacha, and Pinchas remembered it. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu had done it, what would people have said? He did it for his own self-interest. He did it to protect himself. He did it because he was angry. It had to be done totally l'shem shemayim. The act of kenoyim pogim bo had to be totally l'shem shemayim. That's how I understand brisi shalom. When we go, it's totally l'shma. That's room for shalom. That's real peace because you're bringing down the divine. The Kodesh Baruch Hu's rutzin is being chal here in this world. That's the pshat in brisi shalom. We all want shalom. We all want shalom in our lives, we want shalom in our homes, we want shalom in our communities. We want shalom in the world. The only way, the aleph base of shalom is the Rabbanu Shalom. Without the Rabbanu Shalom, there is no room for true shalom. Because that's the only way for us to go beyond our own self-interest. We have to go for a higher interest. We have to raise ourselves above our own way we look at things and go to something which is higher. To the extent we go to something which is higher, there's room for true peace. I'm staying in my son's house. There's a magazine sitting around over there, a woman's magazine, and has articles about divorce. And there's two sections over there, you know, about the unfortunately, it's become a big problem in Jewish community. Shalom bias has become an issue. Maybe it always was an issue, but today it's certainly become an issue. Well, I'd like to add my addition to that article. And I'm not negating anything they wrote. All the Yetzers in the world and all the people that can help, I'm not negating any of it. But there's a Hakdama. There's one Hakdama. It's called the Muna. Without the Rabbanu Shalom, there is no room for Shalom. No Shalom between ourselves, no Shalom with our wives. How do you have, without a Kodesh Baruch Hu, true Shalom can't exist. True Shalom can't exist. There can be a Shalom like this, a Shalom like the Gemara says, like Canaan, Shalom between thieves. They have self-interest. But that shalom will not last. That's self-interest. True shalom only starts with the Rabbanu Shalom. If we want shalom in our homes, and we want shalom for our children and their marriages, we have to go back to basics. I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard before. But I'd just like to stick this in, that, and to the extent that we have, that you know, you've heard every share brokerage you ever went to, right? Ish Misha, yeah, the Shechina Shor Benen, Yud Kei, Shor, if not, Eish Achlosim. Right? It says, without the Hashem, without the Yud Kei, they have Eish. They have fire. It's not Stamad Rasha. It's Emes. And I think that we have to remember that we have to start with the basics. If we want that there should be Shalom in our lives, we have to start with the Rabbanu Shalom. What does that mean? What does that mean? I'd like to offer the following point. The Grup says, when he's talking about the Churban and the Sinas Chinam, he says, the Shorish of all Sina, the shorish of all hatred in Kina is from lack of bitachon. Comes from lack of trust in the Rabbanu Shalom. That's the lashon of the Gra. Because if we had bitachon and emunah and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we'd be very happy with who we are, what we have, both in physical terms, emotional terms, and spiritual terms. But to the extent that we don't have, if we're chasin bitachon, we're chasin emunah, so then we have Kina and Sina. I think we have to start to reorient ourselves to a certain extent, and certainly for our children and our chinuch, to the basics. Why did we get married? What is the purpose of our marriages? What are we trying to accomplish over here? What am I in this world for, if not to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam? That's why I'm here, and have bitachon. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a mate, this is the mate I'm supposed to have. This is my kli, this is my vessel for my avodas Hashem. These are basic aleph base of our Jewish thinking, that we're together with our wives, we are building homes, and we're bringing the Jewish people forward. But to understand, that's my tachlis. And then if there are issues, my purpose is to rise above myself. We all know, we're all married over here, we all know the difficulties in life, and the difficulties of living together with another person. Fine. But just like it says over here, you want shalom. Where's the Rabbanu Shalom? If there's Rabbanu Shalom in our lives, there's possibility for shalom. Because then we come beyond ourselves. We go beyond our self-interest. We go beyond what's for me. If marriage is just, you know, what can I get out of it, and how much pleasure am I having, and, you know, is this kef, etc. So, we have crisis. But if marriage is purpose, if marriage is carrying on the future of the Jewish people, if marriage is tikkun amidos, if marriage is recognition that this is my tachlis in world, in the world, and this is where the Kodesh Baruch Hu went and sent for me, this is what he gave me, this is my purpose. Now I'll tell you a story, please, one story. Pshatzuzay. There was a person who lived in my building, and I live in Israel, Sirotskin, and it was the entrance of my house, and because the man was on a kisei galgalim, he was on a, what do you call it?
Wheelchair.
Why? There was a terrorist thing this year, going back years ago, and he was tied up to some tracks or something. He's crippled. So they used to come in to him on Shabbos and sing. You know, because he was stuck in, and he became a big tzaddik. I forgot his name, Wallace, his name is. He was a major tzaddik. He said, the stipend said on him, you can get a bracha. He became me. He was Mikabel's discern. I was once there with the fellas. It was an Israeli group, you know. I went in there, and they were singing for him. And in the back, his wife, get a picture, his wife was smiling. They had no children, and he was essentially crippled. What's she smiling about? And I to this day, I'm in the spoil from this woman. Teretz is, assumedly, I never spoke to her. This is my lot. This is my husband. It happened after he got married. This is what Hashem wants from me. My purpose is to take care of this man. And she had an honest smile on her face. That is the pshat, that there's a purpose in this life other than, you know, having a good time. So appreciation of this is a bitachon and an amunah to Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is what Hashem wants. This is the lot that He gave me. This is my purpose in the world. Don't you think she wanted children? Don't you think she wanted to have a normal life? She was taking care of a man. She was a young woman. I mean, relatively long. Tara says she recognized this is what Hashem wants from her. We all have to get this into our own, to a certain extent to ourselves, but certainly for the younger generation, where it's becoming a big issue, that the chinuch of what, of bringing Rabbanu Shalom into our lives, into our thoughts, into our processes, who we are and what we're doing. Simple olive base. Because that is the only way for true peace. There's not going to be peace in this world until the world recognizes Rabbanu Shalom. There can't be peace in a community unless the community recognizes Rabbanu Shalom. And there can't be peace in our homes unless all the drushes, they filter down into the olive base of Emunah, the olive base in Bitachon, the olive base in, you know, what am I in this world for? What's the purpose of this? Why am I here with my wife? What are we trying to accomplish? Mishol b'zoyich b'ez Hashem. To Brisi Shalom, to Emes Shalom, and be as a girl, and have a